Morning, everyone. Do let me know if I'm not audible. How are you all doing? Hope you're all living your lives enthusiastically. So that's what we have seen last week, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. But today we are going to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And as you've seen, we are moving closer. We are just two chapters away to close the book, finish the book, complete the book. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. As you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I want to share a story that I read this week as I prepared for this sermon. A red-hot evangelist dressed in a morning coat and striped trousers, wearing a topper, walked down a busy street in London one day. As he approached people walking in the opposite direction from him, people read with amusement, smiles and cheers the words he had printed in large letters on a card fixed to the top of the ribbon of his hat. The words were, "A fool for Christ's sake." When he passed, they turned to another look at the man they thought to be a religious maniac and could not help seeing the card on the back of his stopper, which read, "Whose fool are you?" He wrote on the top of his hat that he is Christ's fool, fool for Christ's sake. And the end behind, he raised a question saying, "Whose fool are you?" It's interesting how Bible talks about this. We are fools for Christ's sake. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we are fools for Christ's sake. But you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. Paul says we are fools for Christ's sake. And at the same time, 1 Corinthians itself in chapter 1, it talks about how God made the wise of this world fools by saving fools, weak people like us, through the preaching of the gospel. Fool, in a biblical sense, is not necessarily someone who has below average intelligence. And folly doesn't mean always that it shows up in low IQ people. It has to do with their relationship with God. A person who fears God is wise. A person who doesn't fear God is a fool. We read this morning from Psalm 53 as well. Psalm 14 also says the same. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds." Fool says in heart, there is no God. It is not intellectual issue, it is moral issue, foolishness. And at the same time, Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Wise are the ones who fear God. So today we are going to have a look at foolish people, a reflection about folly. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. With that said, we'll go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I'm reading from ESV version. It reads, "Death flies makes the perfume's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense. And he says to everyone that he is a fool. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place. For calmness will lay great offense to rest." Verse 5. "There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen slaves on horses, and princes walking on the ground like slaves. Verse 8, he who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. Verse 11, if the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. The words of a wise man's mouth wins him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him. The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know that the way of the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of the nobility, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Verse 18, through sloth the roof sinks in, and through indolence the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Verse 20, even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. May God bless this reading. We'll ask God for his guidance as we look at this passage. We'll pray. Father, this morning we are grateful for this opportunity that you have given to look at your word. I pray as we are going to look at chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes, you will help us to see the wondrous truths that are here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And I pray that you will encourage us in our faith today to live for Christ. Bless us this morning. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. As you have seen, Solomon, having previously discussed about the wisdom and the blessedness of wisdom, now he turns to the opposite, the folly and the destructiveness of the foolishness. Today we are going to look at foolishness, the folly, the reflection of folly. Pardon me. Am I audible? Yeah. Thank you. A small reflection on folly. As you have seen from verse 1 of chapter 10, dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Solomon picks up from where he left in chapter 9. If you see in chapter 9, he ends with this in verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Strength is more impressive, but less effective than wisdom when compared. And he talks about the constructive power of the words of wisdom, and how they are no match to the destructive powers of war. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. One sinner destroys much good. It might look like hyperbole, but if you go back to the history of nation Israel, Achan, if you remember Achan, Joshua, you might have seen that in chapter 7, people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. This happened after the great victory at Jericho. And what happens? Joshua sends some spies to go look at the city Ai. And chapter 7 verse 3 it says, they returned to Joshua and said to them, do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men to go up and attack Ai. It's a very small city. It's a small place. The people are not so strong. We don't have to go. We don't want all the battalion to go. Just send 2,000-3,000 people. That's enough. And what happens? In chapter 7, verse 5, it says, the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Earlier, they said that 2,000-3,000 people are enough. Now 36,000 they killed. And they chased after the military army of Israel. And God replies to Joshua's prayer in chapter 7, verse 11. Israel have sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. You know what happened that day? They lost the war. Not just Achan, his own family was killed. One man's sin brought destruction for the whole nation. That's what Solomon is talking here. And today we are going to look at, as I said, the folly. And the first truth that we look at the folly is, the little folly is dangerous enough. A little folly is dangerous enough. See how he says in chapter 10, verse 1, dead flies make perfumes, ointment, give off stench. So in the ancient Middle East, Near East, this pest used to create a problem. When they fall on the surface of the perfume jar, it spoils all the perfume in that jar. So Solomon is picking that illustration and is saying how few dead flies will spoil whole jar of perfume. Few dead flies are dangerous enough to spoil the whole jar of perfume. A little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Bill Barrick says, in other words, an ounce of folly can destroy a ton of wisdom. Fool's one small mistake will make his conduct smell, even though if he has a lot of wisdom. A little folly, small mistake. One small deviation from the word of God, one small deviation from God can spoil everything. Think of when I ask about Bill Clinton, what comes into your mind? Bill Clinton. Everybody will think of the scandal. But if you look at his life, his career, he comes from a humble background. Great orator. Studied in Oxford, Yale, became a president. But everything, only scandal comes into our mind. Think of David. What comes into your mind? His mistake. His man after God's own heart. But the scandal, that's all we will remember. One little deviation, one foolish decision that we take in life can ruin whole conduct. Little, few dead flies can spoil the whole jar of perfume. But what? Where is the problem? Where is the folly? Verse 2, he answers, a wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. The problem is at the heart. Look at how he says, note this, he doesn't say the feet of the right walk towards the right. He says the heart's inclination. It is the heart of the matter is heart. The problem is at the heart. Foolishness is at the heart of the sinner. If you remember Mark chapter 7, Jesus said this, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For within, out of heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Foolishness defiles the person. It just, which comes out of him. It's at the heart. It's at the heart. Now, when he says wise man's heart inclines to the right, when he talks about right, he is talking about the right direction. In that generation, they considered a right to right places for the place of honor, and power, but the left hand for weakness and rejection. If you remember Matthew chapter 25, even Jesus Christ, he said he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Matthew chapter 25, 41, it says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Colossians 3, 1, if then you have raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So, the right-handedness, it shows the inclination towards God's will, right direction. So Solomon is saying, wise man's heart is inclined towards God. But the foolish man turns towards the left, evil. Foolishness is the moral issue. A wrong decision, it's not a wrong decision. It's a sinful decision that we take in life. Aaron, if you remember, Aaron and his sister Miriam also turned against Moses and actually slandered about Moses. And this is how they repented, confessed their sin. In Numbers 12:11, oh my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Sin is foolishness. David himself said in 2 Samuel 24:10, David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Foolishness is sin. And it dwells in the heart. Foolishness dwells in the heart. That's why Proverbs says, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart, guard your heart with all vigilance, with all diligence. For from it flows the springs of life. Guard your heart with all diligence. How is your heart today? How is your heart today? How are you guarding your heart? That's the question you have to ask. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it, said Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 17:10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. How is your heart today? Foolishness dwells in the heart. And only Christ can change that. Only Christ can change your heart. Only Christ can change the inclination of your heart towards God. He will give you a new heart that comes from the new covenant, right? Ezekiel chapter 36, he talks about how he will give a new heart and a new spirit. He will remove the heart of stone from you and he'll give you heart of flesh. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can do that. Foolishness dwells in the heart and foolishness cannot be hidden. He says, even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense. And he says to everyone that he is a fool. Foolishness dwells in the heart, but it is not hidden. It cannot be hidden. It is obviously seen. So as he walks on the road, he proclaims that he is foolish. That doesn't mean he is literally proclaimed that, hey, all, look at me, I'm a fool. He doesn't say that. But the way how he behaves itself shows that he is a fool. And if you are living in Pune, if you are going in traffic, you might have seen these people. On a highway, last time we were heading towards home fellowship, on the highway, right after crossing the Hinjewadi flyover, there is a small bridge. A four-wheeler guy coming in the opposite direction. Isn't it foolish? Asking for accident. They don't have to speak. Their actions speak. They're foolish. It's the behavior. He lacks sense. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. He gives us an example. Fool will not listen to advice.
Wise man listens to advice, but the fool doesn't. He is wise in his own ways. He gives an example. He says in verse 4, if the anger of a ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to the rest. So basically, he's taking an illustration of where there is a manager and an employee, how when manager is angry, you don't walk away from your manager and say, I'm resigning. And that doesn't help. Now, because this is a different generation, you can resign and then probably seek for another job. But when he's talking about a ruler, probably a king or someone who is under the king. And that's the fatal. When you do something like that, it can lead to severe judgment. That's foolishness to revile immediately. But calmness helps. If you remember Jesus Christ, greatest example, Peter said this, Jesus, our model, he did not revile in return, but continued to entrust himself to the Lord. If you remember when he was taken to the Pilate, Jesus, and when Pilate asked multiple questions, are you the king of Jews? Jesus replied, you have said so. And again, because high priests, they have Pharisees, they have charged so many things against him. Mark 15:4, it says, Pilate asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. Verse 5, chapter 15 of Mark says, but Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. It is wise sometimes to keep quiet, not to revile. But the fool doesn't listen. A little folly is dangerous enough to destroy our lives. And the second truth about the folly is found in verses 5 to 15. It says, a little folly exists in everybody. He goes and does the research and he says, there is an evil that I have seen under the sun. You know, this is the last observation Solomon is giving to us. This is the last, only remaining occurrence where you'll see, I have seen in this book. So what he has seen that it was an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places. He's talking about how foolishness is existing in the place where it shouldn't be. It's in the high places, talking about the foolish readers. It's in everywhere, it's in everyone, and it's there in foolish readers as well. And the way he says, it shows the weight of the problem. He says, there is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. It is an evil that I am seeing. It's a dangerous, harmful thing that I have seen. That error is proceeding from the ruler. Now, when he says error, it's a mistake. It's an unintentional thought. It is a thoughtless act. So, a thoughtless act is coming from the place of a responsible person, an administrative person, a ruler. That's the folly that he sees. That's the evil that he sees. Folly is set in many high places. Now, and he says in verse 10, last part, he says, rich sit in low place. Folly is sitting in high places and the rich sit in low place. So when he says rich sitting in the low place, he is not talking about the wicked people who are rich, foolish rich people. Proverbs talks about how the diligent will be rich. Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He's talking about the hardworking rich people who are in the low places, but the folly sitting on the high places. And verse 7, he says, I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground. Now, Please don't misunderstand Solomon. Solomon is against slaves. He's not talking about the black slaves, the oppression. He's talking about how the hard-working people are in the low places and the foolish people are in the high places. When he talks about slaves on horses, princes walking on the ground, you have to go to the cultural background. In the ancient history, if you see, not a normal person owns a horse. Only royal persons who are noble, royal, or military persons, they used to hold horses. So he was just saying how when there is folly at the high places, it will lead to a upside down world where the slaves will be on horses and the princes who are foolish will be walking. That's because of foolishness at high places. You might have seen this at your workplace also. Foolish people on the high places. And the hardworking people, sometimes, not always, sometimes. Sometimes you might see managers who are not worthy to sit on the places. Foolish people will sit sometimes in managerial positions. It's fitting. But it's fitting for a believer to submit to the authorities. That's the wise thing to do. There is foolishness in high places. And he goes on and looks at the laborers. Verse 8, he says, he who digs a pit, he's talking about a laborer. How calamity is waiting each and every day. He who digs a pit will fall into it. A serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. And he talks about how a quarry man who breaks the stone can get hurt. He who splits the logs will be endangered by them. The iron is blunt and the one does not sharpen the edge. He must put more strength. He talks about the foolishness of the laborers and how the calamity awaits in everyone's day-to-day life. But the interesting thing, you see, accidents can happen, but this is foolishness he is talking about. He says, if the serpent bites before it's charmed, there is no advantage of the charmer. So if you don't be active, diligent at work, the serpent will bite and you will be in loss. There is one film actor who said, life is tough, it's tougher for stupid. Life is already tough, but if you are a stupid person, it is tougher. So that's what Solomon is talking about. The foolishness at the labors, not diligent at their work. Look at verse 10, how it ends. But wisdom helps one to succeed. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. The problem is, all these people are foolish and not putting the wisdom. That's why they are not successful. There could be a reason. If you are not successful in your life, it may be because of your foolishness. Because not being diligent in your work. It's not always because of foolish manager sitting on you. It may be because of the sin that is in you. Because you are not using wisdom. That's what Solomon is trying to communicate. Foolish laborers, he says. There might be people with sinful ways who might have climbed the corporate labor, settled in high places, but this is the group who are still at the bottom level because of their own foolishness and sinfulness. There's one commentator, he said, slackness may nullify inherent skill. If the charmer of the snake doesn't work with diligence, he could be killed by that. So the slackness may nullify inherent skill. You might have skill. If you are not diligent at work, you will not be successful. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all toil there is profit, but a mere talk tends only to poverty. 10:4 Proverbs, it says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before the king. He will not stand before obscure men. Diligence at workplace will give success. Foolishness will lead to destruction. It's interesting, all the illustrations that he gives, all of them are self-destructive. They destroy themselves with their own foolishness. Remember Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Do with your might. I think that's the wisdom that should we take today. In the light what we have seen about foolish workers, we should avoid that. And finally, he talks about the foolish talkers. He says, the words of the wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and end of his talk is evil madness. And foolish man multiplies words. Biblical wisdom literature eventually will touch this topic of tongue. Because you can't take out wisdom from the words that we speak. So he says literally in verse 12, words of wise man's mouth are grace. Gracious words accompany the wise. Wise man speaks with graciousness. But the fool consumes himself. He displays lack of wisdom. There's wickedness in his mouth. Verse 15, he says, the toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. The closing instruction indicates the futility of fool's labor. Just because he lacks this wisdom and lacks wisdom and he speaks nonsense, he doesn't find a way to reach to the place where he has to go. And his toil is wearisome for his own self. He gets exhausted. He can't figure out how to reach to the destination. His incompetence arises out of failure to apply due diligence in the realm of his labor and his work. But the wise man's words are gracious, he says. Luke chapter 4 verse 22. When Jesus finished his preaching, it said like this, and all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? When they heard Jesus Christ, this is what they said. They marveled at the gracious words coming out from Jesus Christ's mouth. A wise man speaks gracious words and he wins the people. Where the foolish man, he will only be successful in making enemies for himself as he speaks. And he doesn't know when to stop. A fool multiplies words. That's the problem. A fool talks too much. A sermon can be longer, but I shouldn't talk too much. Foolish talkers. All this spoils. A little foolishness can spoil our lives. This is the final observation that he does about the folly. And he gives a little wisdom to avoid the folly. That's the third point. A little wisdom to avoid the folly. Starts from verse 16. He says, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, when your princess feasts in the morning. Now, I want you to see this mirror image. We have seen folly at high places and folly at foolishness at the laborers and foolish talkers, right? In reply to that, you will see Solomon giving wisdom. In 16 and 17, he talks about high places. And again, from 18 and 19, he talks about laborers, but how to be wise. And verse 20, he talks about the foolish talkers, or else the application for the foolish talkers. You can see that mirror image. But to start with, he talks about the, he gives the contrast about the high places, foolishness at the high places. He says, "Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning." So he's talking about how the foolish person looks like in the high places. He's self-indulgent. He says, when your king is a child, your princes feast in the morning. So he's talking about the person who's a self-indulgent, indulgent in food and drunkenness. Because that's how he ends in chapters 10 verse 17. He says, for your princes feast in the proper time, for the strength and not for the drunkenness. Showing the contrast of the wise king, he shows the foolish persons drink and eat for the drunkenness. So, to avoid foolishness, if you are in the managerial role, if you are the one in the leadership role, this is the wisdom that he is giving. Avoid self-indulgence. This piece of wisdom for all the people who are in leadership role. Avoid self-indulgence. Good national leaders exhibit a personal independence, maturity, wisdom, and self-control. Selfish, arrogant, and pleasure-seeking leaders will bring only trouble to the nation. So to his people. Fools indulge in food, alcohol, in excess. Don't miss the point. This is what last time also he told how we should enjoy the gifts of God. Eat the bread, drink the wine, and find joy in our life. But these are the people who misuse. They don't know when to feast. They don't know when to say enough. They indulge into things of this world. Foolish misuse God's gifts. So avoid self-indulgence and be a good leader. And secondly, he talks, you can see in verse 17, happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobility and your princes feast at the proper time for strength. So these wise kings, they are noble and they know when to feast, when to say no. And they feast for strength. Wisdom for the foolish kings is that avoid self-indulgence. And the secondly, he says, avoid laziness for the laborers. He says, through sloth, the roof sinks, and through indolence, the house leaks. He's talking about the laziness. Fools are lazy, incompetent, negligent. This illustration, he is trying to give an illustration from the building, this construction project, how through sloth the roof sinks. That is not just, loss, but it's very dangerous. It could kill yourself. That's what laziness does to your own life. The opposite of laziness is diligence. Lazy will suffer loss, but the diligent will enjoy the fruits of the labors. He says in verse 19, bread is made for laughter, wine gladdens life, money answers everything. That is only for the diligent. Where the foolish man, because of his laziness, puts him in danger, the diligent enjoy the fruits of their labors. This is the right way to enjoy bread. For laughter, talking about the feast, celebration. Wine gladdens life, drinking wine with a cheerful heart. And money answers everything, he says. Now, when preachers says that money answers everything, that is, it's a simple, practical observation that if you have money, you will be able to buy bread, you will be able to buy medicine, you will be able to buy shelter, everything. Money answers everything, implies that. A simple practical observation. That is only for the diligent. Avoid laziness. If you are struggling in life, maybe because of the laziness, sloth in this area. That's for the labors. And finally, he says, avoid bitterness. He's talking about the words from verse 20. He says, even in your thoughts, do not curse the king. Again, it's related to words. Nor in your bedroom curse the rich. It's related to words, but the words comes from the heart. So first and foremost, you should kill the thoughts in your hearts itself. It's talking of dealing with the bitterness is important. The inner thoughts. See, our inner man is a true person. It's a reflection of the inner man we see outwardly. Words spoken in secret reveal the state of one's heart. When the words that we speak in the secret reveal who we are. You can praise each other in public, but what you speak about the other person in private shows who you are. And this is very key. When what he talks here is key. He says, even in your thoughts, stop in your own thinking. Avoid the root of bitterness, which can cause much danger. Remember, John talked about this in 1 John 4:20. If you say, you know, and you love the Lord, and does not love your brother, you are in darkness. You're not saved. You don't know how to love your brother. If you are not loving your brother, you're not even a Christian. That's the danger. That's the danger of the gossip and slander. That reveals one's true condition, relationship with God. Spreading misinformation, uncertain facts about another person indicates the root of bitterness. And maybe slowly taking over one's heart, inclining it away from the kingdom of heaven. See, here he says, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, a winged creature. See, when you don't even curse the king in the bedroom, he says, right? Like, someone can hear, walls have ears, someone can carry the information. A bird can carry. It looks like Twitter came from here, the idea of Twitter. But someone can carry. Even if no one listens, God hears your words in your thoughts in secret. Lord wants us not to allow the root of bitterness to spring up and cause much trouble and defilement. Hebrews 12:15. Wise people put up safeguards in their thoughts and actions to help them not to give themselves into the root of bitterness. Remember Philippians 4:8? Paul gives us this practical application to all of us. Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about it, these things. Think about these things. This is a wise way to guard our hearts and avoid bitterness in our lives. A little wisdom. So as I close, this is as Solomon gives us the final reflection at the folly. This is the wisdom he gives. Take care of your heart. Guard your heart. Decide whose fool you want to be. You want to look as a fool in the world's eyes, or as Christ's fool for Christ's sake, or you want to look as a fool in God's eyes for the world's sake. Take a decision. It all, the heart of the matter is, it's all in your heart. It's the inclination of the heart. We have to focus on the heart. And guard our heart diligently. Ephesians 5:15, Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully at yourselves. Guard your own lifestyle. Make the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Know what the will of the Lord is for your life and walk according to His ways. That's being wise. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us this word through which you encourage every time we approach your word, Father. As today we have looked at the foolishness and how destructive it is Father, a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. I pray that we'll guard our hearts not to let little folly to destroy our godliness, Father. Help us to be diligent and keep a heart safeguarded, Father. I pray that we will live for the glory and honor of Christ and God ourselves. I pray that you will protect us from the evil one. And I pray that you will give us grace enough to battle with the sins that we have in us and around us, Father. I pray for CCC that you will bless us to be wise. And in the world's eyes, we will be fools for Christ's sake. We submit this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.